You should have two white sheets stapled together. Got a longer reading this morning. So I'll begin with Genesis 6. I'm going to start in verse 8, or about halfway down the page, on the first page. Genesis 6, starting with verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit above, from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind shall come to you to keep them alive, and you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Genesis 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did, according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two. of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life. All that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Genesis 8. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the 7th month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself, and he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the 1st month, the 1st day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. And indeed, the surface of the ground was dry. And in the 2nd month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. We'll stop there. The back page goes on to give us him going out of the ark. I don't think we'll get quite that far today, but we'll see. All right. Genesis 6. We finished up last time our discussion of the culture of Noah and what was going on. I may have dashed some of your hopes that there were giants at the time and there were angels and women creating demagogues and all, and said, nah, I don't think any of that was going on. But it definitely let us know what was going on at the time. Well, the earth, as it said, the people had corrupted themselves so much. How bad was it? Well, the Lord says, despite his great patience, and we see this in the New Testament where it talks about God's long-suffering at the time of the flood, time of the ark, But it finally gets to the point of no return, and it says that they had come to their end. That was the clue, the thing Noah had been telling God about the wickedness. There was grief over them not listening to his preaching. We said Noah was a man who walked with God. That is, he was a preacher, a herald of righteousness, as the New Testament says in 1 Peter. And so Noah was preaching out. In addition to that, we saw that there was great, not just wickedness, but there was destruction. And particularly, it says again and again that there was violence. And thus, God's people had reduced due to this. And so we see that not only is God punishing the wickedness, but he's also preserving or taking care of his church at the time, Noah and his. The situation we have, you've heard me say before about the three estates, the church, the home, and the government. We've taken a look at the church quite a bit and how they had gone to works righteousness. They had rejected the promise. They were not looking forward to it. Then we saw the home being decimated by this intermarriage in between the true church and the false church, so that they turned away from the faith. And then we saw that these, quote, giants, or these men of renown, notorious men, had taken positions of leadership within the government, and thus there was suppression and oppression against. And so we see things had gotten, you know, in all the estates so bad that it was against the possibility of this church. So we had the corrupted, they corrupted their ways. God finally hears Noah and says, we've come to the end of all flesh. And so, having made a decision, God, with verse 14 is where we're starting. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. All right, so here is the directions. You go to
Menards.
Home Depot.
Yeah, what's the place where you can get the box and it's everything's in it? And
IKEA.
IKEA. You go to IKEA and you say you want an ark. They give you the box. You open up the thing and here is the directions. You know, now guys don't want to read the directions, but this is short enough. We can read this. This would be fine. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and outside with pitch, and this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above. Set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Now, there's some details, but I think the details for our cornhole toss were more, this is not quite, you know, everything that I think I ought to need to figure this out.
Building a ship is complicated.
What now?
Building a ship is extremely complicated. There's about 15,000 things left out of that.
Yes, there is. What else?
Not a working blueprint.
Not quite a working blueprint. Eric was going to give us an AutoCAD. He's in St. Louis, so he can't help us today.
The problem here is, the real problem here is, what's an ark? Why would Noah have any idea what an ark was?
Pastor Roone, you know, this is where we're going. The problem is he didn't go back far enough. First of all, ark. First time this is found in the scriptures. The only other time it is found when Moses is to be placed in a little ark, and in order to keep him alive, and then they find Moses. That's the only time. Gopher wood. We're not quite sure. I mean, the problem is that it's been a long time to say exactly. I'm sure in Moses' time that explained exactly. Some say it's a kind of cedar that it is. Some say the actual gopher wood is that. Some say that this is actually a distinction meaning not so much the kind of wood, but that it is squared timbers kind of thing. There's just so much we don't know about this. Make rooms, it's the same word for nests. And so the idea that, this is cubicles, there should be cubicles. There should be nests, rooms, places inside. We're supposed to cover it with pitch. Sometimes they call this bitumen. This is also one of those where we just don't know exactly what this was. I got a couple more.
I know, but that's all well and good. But if we think that Noah knew what was going on, we completely missed the point of this. Noah had no idea what was happening. That's a given. He didn't know what was going on. He never knew what was going on. And you see, in reality, we don't know what's going on. We just fool ourselves all the time thinking that. But it's important to remember in this whole story that Noah never knew what was going on. The only thing he had to go on was God's word. Who built the ark? Well, Noah's hands did. God's brain did.
A couple more things. Window. Probably the not a glass pane, but a roof that was placed upon the top that could be opened. It's to be with a cubit. Oh, the 300 cubits. How far is a cubit? From the elbow to the end of the middle finger, 18 inches approximately. If we've got approximately 18 inches, we've got 300 cubits long.
450 feet.
How long is this?
Yeah, 450 feet, give or take.
450 feet. How long's a football field?
300.
Yeah, so you're looking at it's 50 cubits wide. Yeah. It's I got the dimensions. I got a little bit about the wood and about covering it. I got a roof. I also know that there's a door and there needs to be three decks with it. That's all I got.
For a wooden ship, those are extraordinary dimensions. That wasn't matched until the 1800s.
Yes.
As far as we know.
Noah's got some time. How long
years.
Does he have to figure this out?
100 years.
Yeah, I mean, so, this is not even a, well, we're going to get this done in a year, he works... He could have worked slower than I, Doc.
No, I don't know about that.
He could spend 5-10 years as an apprentice and go down to the shipyard and find out about how this works and could come back and still have 95 years to work. I mean, there's a whole lot that needs to happen here. And I'm sure, again, he doesn't... This is about the Word of God. It's not so much... Nevertheless, when it comes to details, this story in particular is the one that it became very popular back in Germany, 1920s. It was called the Heilgeschichte, the comparative religion studies. You put the religions, you put them together. And so what you look and you go, oh, in this religion they've got a flood story. and someone's an ark. Oh, and then this one they have. And so they began to see this, and they were really impressed. They found one called the Gilgamesh Epic, in which there was a flood story and things of this sort. In all of these, and it doesn't, they thought, oh, see, this just means that all religions are made up. And I go, no, it means there's a whole bunch of monkeys that are copying the true religion, you know, or got it messed up, or when where there were things going on, then they started doing, you know, sacrifices as well, and then and all. But in all of these other ones, these stories, fables, myths, are very vague. We may not have a lot of we've got details, though. And it's not just, you know, and in this, there's quite a bit of details concerning just exactly what's going, and when we get to the time, we're going to see that in today's, about the days and the years and the month and the exact day that he went in and the exact day that he went out. You know, this is not just a vague story about some kind of thing. You can tell this is a historical account of just exactly what was going on at the time. So that's what we find. That's what we find with this. Yes, it's of gigantic proportions, and yet it presents. Now, this is not a. It's not a seagoing vessel that is has to propel itself across. It floats. I mean that's all we need it to do. It just needs to float. So it's got an intended purpose. Nevertheless, Pastor Roon, I think, hits upon you've got to put yourself in Noah's place and go, you know, God has decided, I mean, God's anger and wrath against all mankind. I mean, his what he began, and it's time to get out our pink sheet. If we look at the time of the deluge, which is about halfway down, the year of the world, 1656. So, 1600 years earlier, God said, and it was very good. And 1600 years later, God says, I'm going to destroy the whole thing. I mean, that's how long it took. And God's anger. When Noah speaks, when God tells Noah to build this ark, he tells him, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to take care of this problem that you have. You've got this problem with the wicked. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to destroy it all. I don't necessarily think it is... When God says, I got it, I'm going to make an end of all flesh, you know, pretty glad when you get to this point that you say, even, I mean, every sentence has to follow the other, but it's not. And we're going to find that God doesn't do things the way that we expect. This is not what we think. If you can consider the unbelieving world, when Noah says to them and preaches to them for 100 years that there is going to be a flood, even what little they know about God from the true church, that's not what he's going to do. God wouldn't do that. He created this world. He made this for. Why would God? God would never do that. We've had this before. Well, we have. They didn't. Same thing. What happens when Jesus says, We're going to destroy this temple.
And rebuild it in 3 days.
I'm going to destroy this temple and rebuild it.
It took hundreds of years to build it.
At that point, they said, it took a long time. You think you're going to do that? No. And more than that, what did they say even before? This has happened back with the temple had been destroyed earlier, 168, and when Jeremiah told them God's going to destroy the temple, what did they tell him? He would never do that. God promised to be there at the temple. This is His temple. We are His people. Would he bring judgment upon His people, upon His temple? He would never do that.
Even though Isaiah had told him 120 years before that he was going to.
Exactly. What did they do? You talk about cancel culture? Jeremiah gets thrown into a cistern and told, get this guy out of here. He's bringing down the morale of the people. You can't tell the people that God's going to destroy the city. Does God do those things? He does. Does He keep His promises? Yes. And yet, God doesn't always do it the way we expect. What did they tell Luther at the time? Oh, God said that His church would exist forever. You can't have a reformation. That can't happen. Or you can't say that the Pope is not the leader. Because God's promised that He would always have Peter on the... Well, they misunderstood the words, right? They didn't understand that, yeah, exactly. Now, why does God do that? Why is there wrath and anger?
Because of sin.
They don't follow His word. And so Ambassador Roon says, what about Noah? He followed His word. Not only before, but we're also going to see afterwards that he actually does make a ship according to these directions.
But it's important to remember here that he doesn't necessarily know what that word means.
Not until he doesn't.
Not until after it happens.
Wasn't there an ark that they carried the Ten Commandments in?
Yeah, the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay, so that was something that God ordered to be created so that it protected something that was very important. This is an ark. It's protecting something that's very important. The people
Correct.
Who are going to repopulate the world.
Absolutely. So,
there it is. The Ark of the Covenant.
So, what is God telling him? He's telling him how much he values him. He's protecting him. How much he cares about him. This is to assure him that he is going to everything else that has, and I can go back to, we can talk about the breath of life, the breath that's gone for those who are here. But for him, they will. And God continues to tell him, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth. When you have only one God, you can't have just, well, a good God wouldn't do that, but the bad God, he came and, you know, oh, things are out of control. You know, it's the other gods and they're going to have to fight back. No, there's only one God, and what does he say? I myself, I'm taking full credit for this. I'm going to bring the floodwaters. So we do have a God who is long-suffering and a flood, but we do have one that finally brings punishment upon those who do evil and don't follow his word. Those who don't confess.
Why is it phrased, I myself, rather than I am?
This is a repetition. This is an emphasis. Mm-hmm. It is an I am, of, you know, without a myself that's in there. I am bringing it. But he's letting...
Yes.
Don't I am doing this?
Yeah, this is an accident of the nature. I'm doing that. This can happen because I want it. Okay, got it.
I want you to know this is my act, my job. Now, by his bringing this and everything upon the earth, then he does again this I. And those I statements are pretty important. I will establish my covenant with you. What is this covenant? This is another agreement. This is another lawful signed agreement. We've had one before. This is the second time it comes back around.
first one is when he promises a savior, isn't it?
That was the very first one. That was the first kind of agreement that was done. This is the next one. And so we're going to talk about a covenantal relationship. There is, God makes a relationship with them and says, I promise and you will get. This is the way God's covenants work. Sometimes we have covenants or promises where you do one thing and I do another. But no, no, no. This is my covenant with you. Who's the you?
Noah.
What about his wife?
How was that a little bit further on?
What about with you? And you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wives, your son's wives with you. Did the sons get saved? Yeah, but God didn't make the covenant with them. He made it with the
patriarch.
With the old man, with the patriarch. How did they get saved?
By listening to the old man.
By listening to the old man.
And better listen to me.
So we also have the same thing with Abraham, right? And so everyone wants to be a child of Abraham. Well, in this instance, too, you have that in which it goes with the whole family, of course. And so God is going to, and he tells them exactly, you shall go into the ark. There's a building of an ark, and then you're going to go into the ark. Would you say that this is an example of works righteousness? You're saved by building your own ark? Ah, how did he get saved? Well, he built an ark. See, you got to work hard if you want to get saved.
He's following God's word.
He's just following God's word. What about the ark, then? Yes.
The ark is our church.
The ark is like the church. Absolutely. And so there are times in which we God uses, what do we always say?
Means.
He uses means. This is not the worst. This is the means God set up. And so he set it up and says, here's the means by which you are saved. And so, absolutely. This is... Now, one more thing before we continue with the account. With this act of God, I myself am bringing the floodwaters. This is more than just destruction. The very act of the flood both kills and makes alive.
Second Peter.
Mm-hmm. Who does it kill?
The old Adam.
Those who are not in the ark. The unbelievers. The ones who don't follow the word. Who are saved.
The ones that believe the word.
The one that make use of the means which God has provided. He has provided a way out. And so, those who come into... are the ones who are saved. The very water that destroys is the one that lifts them up above the destruction so that they don't receive it. So we see with this act, Noah cried out to God and said, there is violence, there's destruction, they're not hearing your word, they are, and God says, all right. It says, and God sees, and then God answers. And when God answers, it may not sound like that's the method that I would have chosen.
Probably I thought maybe the method Noah chose either.
Or Noah even had chose. But God says, you know, I'm going to use a flood, and I'm going to accomplish both purposes all in one. Tony, do you have by both purposes in that, I'm going to save... And I'm also going to bring the punishment that needs to come.
Well, I myself am bringing... This is God's will that this happened. And we always kind of think that God wouldn't will to do something that would destroy people or destroy anything. But God's will is God's will. And whatever he chooses to do, it's good for us.
It is. And... to back up with that, we also know because he has told us of his will that he is always going to do good and right and just. And so, you know, it's not just that, but God always follows that. And in this, he's still doing exactly what we said. He, in his loving long-suffering, waited until the end when there was no other way than I couldn't save anymore.
God's will. You know, we're, when we pray for, we'll say, healing or whatever, you know, we always think that it's always God's will to heal people, you know. But we need to realize that sometimes it's God's will to take them home or take, you know. And
right.
I guess I'm, you know.
Exactly. That's exactly.
We don't understand God's will. And we only know that everything he does, he wills for the good of his people, whatever.
And so the manner, and that's why when we pray, we give God the situation and we leave it up to him, where, you know, the Lord, in effect, says, well, I healed them and took them home. They're never going to get sick again. And you go, oh, I hadn't thought that. And yet, that's the way he does it. Shirley, in the past...
Well, I was just sitting here thinking, this whole thing of what Noah did, he did not know why he was doing what he was doing. It all just comes back to faith. I mean, all of this, he did all of this on faith, not on works, but on faith, which is what the church has carried on today.
Yes, absolutely. Pastor?
Well, the Lord always works his will through means. And I think it's important for us to remember that, because if he works his will through means, if the means is rejected, the Lord is rejected, and the working of his will is rejected. In this case, I will destroy is the will of God, but only for those who refuse the ark. And the same thing is still true today. It's not God's will that anybody goes to hell, but those who reject the word through which he works faith do, because they've rejected God.
I told you a little bit about what Luther thinks from time to time. So tell me, you can probably do it, when God directed Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, who told Noah that? What would Luther say?
You mean who actually spoke to Noah?
Yeah.
Lamech.
Jesus.
Lamech. Maybe Lamech. Luther says, Methuselah. The great-grandfather. The preacher. The one who... Because Luther always wants to put it back to the office through whom... He comes and says, now, here's what it is that it's time to do. Is that, I don't know.
But then you'd have to say, well, who told it to Methuselah?
Yeah, I know. Luther never answers that. Okay, you can take him or leave him. We're going to rest into the scripture. We've got animals going in. We've got male and female. We've got two of every kind that are going to come. We're going to take food as well for the animals and for yourself. We're going to put them in. We're going to get ready. You're going to be in there for a long time. I'm sure as they are putting that in, we're going to realize we're going to see how long he did it. The faithfulness of Noah, and again, this is not simply a works righteousness, but a faith. That is, he did according to the word, according to God's command. So he did. And so they come into the ark with chapter 7. 6 finishes the ark itself. We've done. We've built it. It's ready to go. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. God directs them to use the means, it's time to come in. And he puts them in. I keep emphasizing the things that God does because they are going to undergo a distressing situation that is more than just enormous. We all know, Noah, yeah, how long was the ark? How long was the flood?
40 days.
Yeah, 40 days. We kind of go, okay, 40 days. Yeah, you know, I've quarantined for 2 weeks. I can handle 40 days.
Whatever.
It only rained for 40 days. We've got pretty well 150 days till we finally get the sun comes back out again. We're going to talk about what all happened. And then we've got pretty well another half a year before they come out of the ark. And so, 150 days of rain and the roof's on and you're in an ark. And what's going on outside? Thunder, lightning, storms, tossing. You keep kind of going, maybe God isn't going to save us. Are we really, so at every point, what do? You go back to the words of God. And so when you're sick, you pray to God for help. The longer that you're in that situation, you keep going back to the words and you repeat them again and again. God promised always I will be with you and God, the Lord is my shepherd. You say it to yourself again, right? Why? Because that comforts you. It's a repetition. There is lots of repetition in chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9. And it would appear that, Noah kept saying, the Lord told us come into the ark. We're only following. The Lord told me to build the ark this way. And so then we come in. So we have that again. I have seen that you are righteous, and once again, before me. Right? Noah is righteous. Righteous means that he is what?
Faithful.
He has faith in Christ. Before God, he's considered righteous. Before men, we all confess our sins, just as Noah did. He also lost his temper. He also, okay. Then we get down to here, and so the 40 days, I get the 40 days and 40 nights, but it's really a little more complex and it's a lot longer than that. We all come into the ark, two by two, I get it, and then all of a sudden I get sevens. Seven? It's not even an even number. Take a male, a female, and a transgender. What's going on? What about the seven? Somebody wrote the wrong thing, different person. One person wrote chapter 6, one wrote 7. They put them together and went, oh no, messed up. What's going on?
Some of those are for sacrifice and for eating.
You will note that in this one we have the first mention of clean animals. It would appear that when you got to clean animals, you took a whole bunch more of those than you took of the unclean. It doesn't say unclean, but up in chapter 6, you took two of each of those, you kept them. Of the clean animals, it would appear that you took a male, a female, a male, a female, a male, a female, and one extra. The extra was the sacrifice. Right? So if you're one of the birds, and there's four male and three female, one of those males,
things are looking rough.
It's starting to, we better find out which one doesn't have a mate.
Have we had a definition of clean and unclean yet?
This is the first time.
But that's not a definition, but you tell Moses, we don't get
the tell Moses, we get the definition, yes. This kind of thing is crazy. Moses writes this account, but he doesn't write it till much later after this has happened. Now, Moses isn't there. And so you kind of go, wait a minute. Moses, it's not that Moses is writing back into it. Moses is letting us know that things are happening back then that already were that later becomes systematized, but they already had the understanding. What did they have the understanding of that we have in Mosaic law? They had the understanding of a Sabbath. There was a seven. We always have these sevens, and we're going to see those come up. We've got a distinction between clean and unclean animals. We're going to have a distinction that comes with sacrifice. Yes, we don't actually have it till later, but obviously by natural knowledge and by whatever they were set up with Cain and Abel and whatever, there already were these kind of things going on, and they knew it. And so it's lined out with that. Now, here's the other thing. You don't have it till we get to the end of the flood, but clean animals were not only used for sacrifice, they were also used for food. God doesn't give it to them for food until later on, but obviously they would then be able to use this, so we needed more of those at the time. Pastor?
Well, one of the interesting things that I think about this, and this is basically only a personal opinion, but did God change from creation until the building of the temple the way he was worshipped? Has he changed the way he was worshipped from the time of creation until now? Or are we assuming that the people before the flood that God never informed them about how to worship him? See, and I you can't make that point, because Noah in fact did worship God. And God must have been the one who told him how to do it. The same way with Adam and Eve. God wants to be worshipped, and he doesn't want us guessing about how to do it.
Okay?
Well, before the flood, God had told them this is what you are to do. It was not till Moses came along that they, I guess God, he knew they were wrong, but they had to be written down, because there was no way these people were going to do it until they gave the law to Moses, and it was written down so that they knew what was going on. But that doesn't mean that before that they didn't know that God didn't tell them how to worship.
Correct. We'll go back to it. I was looking it up. I'm going to push forward so I can get through what we need to today. But Hebrews 11, where it says, by faith they did all these things, and apart from faith you can do nothing that is pleasing to God. So if these things were pleasing to him, and we have examples which show that, whether it was Abel or whether Noah, after he gets off of the ark, has a sacrifice and these things are pleasing to him, we know that he didn't just make this up. Because it had to have, faith has to trust in a word that comes from it. All right, so we get clean animals now, and and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. So we've got a 7 day span where he lets them know the waters are going to come. They are to get into the ark, because in 7 days this is going to happen. We find that on that particular day, and it tells us when it was, 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, it was on that day. And here it mentions, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. It speaks of two things. Not just rain, but this door of heaven, the window of heaven, water somehow comes from above. And then the great deep, where the water comes from below, the great deeps are broken up and the water comes up. And then later on in chapter 8, it mentions this one, and the rains. Now, I would have thought the windows of heaven were the rain, but I'm sorry, I just don't know what all this is. But there's a threefold, or at least a twofold, of where all this water comes from. And it's going to come, over this period of time. The rain that is coming comes for 40 days and 40 nights. On that day, what happens? They all enter the ark. They come with all of the animals, with every beast of every kind. They went into the ark, two by two, all flesh. They went in just as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Ooh. Last one in.
You know,
how do you shut the door of a... You don't. But God does. There is... Wow. There are always... God always gives us indications of his will towards us, of his either anger or his love. It's always better when he gives a word to go with the action. Right? We call that a sacrament, a promise, where God puts a word together with it. There are other things when we, the scriptures say things like when we look at all the creation and the sun that God has made and the sun that comes up when it goes every day upon the evil and upon the good, that is a sign of God's love towards us. Now you can know that from natural knowledge, but when God gives you a word and tells you concerning it, then we have even more. This obviously is a sign for Noah to know that God is protecting him during this year that he is inside of the ark. The flood was on the earth 40 days. It lifted up the ark. It rose above. The waters prevailed as greatly as the ark moved on the surface of the waters. It just floated. It exceeded high above all the hills. This is not just a local thing. It goes high enough to cover the entire world or all of human habitation, so that wherever there is the animals and that, whether they had spread to other continents, well, I don't even know how that works out. But that's what we have. Those which had the breath of life destroyed everything upon the face of the ground. They were destroyed. Only Noah was on there. The waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So it takes 150 days before the ark comes to rest upon Mount Ararat. So this is, chapter 6 was the building of the ark. Chapter 7 then is the floods and the waters and 150 days. And then God remembered Noah. Is he forgetting? But from our perspective, that's exactly what we have. And we have in the Psalms all the time. In what? It's really difficult when you have a God, when you keep saying to God, answer my cry. Did you forget? Wake up! Come to my rescue! Get up, God! Come and... There is always this... Because that's what we think. It's not that that's... But his ways are not our ways. And so, when something happened, what happened that Noah says, God, now I know God remembered. There was a wind. This wind must have been important. As this wind came to blow upon Noah, says that's a sign from God. That's a sign. Wind is often the breath and wind and the Holy Spirit moving. There's always connections that are with that. The water started to subside, and so at this point, after 150 days, the fountains of the deep, the windows were stopped, the rain from heaven was restrained, the wind started to blow, and the waters receded continually. And Noah says, yes! I've been praying for 150, you know, probably after 40 days, he said, well, God did say for 40 days that the floods were coming. And between day 41 and day 150, it doesn't look like it's ever going to end. But finally, yes, God heard, and at the end of 150 days, the waters now, instead of increasing, now start decreasing, and then it comes to rest. The waters decrease continually, finally until the 10th month, and then the tops of the mountains, they wait the end of 40 days. 40 days comes up again and again and again. 40 days is and not just arbitrary, but it's always seven sevens plus one. That's where you get 40, 40, no, 40, That's a different one. Wait, seven. Seven times seven is
49.
Right. Seven times.
Six is
42. 42 plus.
Eight.
No, so it's a.
That's not going to work out.
5 days. 5 days. So it'll be 5 weeks plus 5 days.
5 weeks plus 5 days.
No. It was the right time, anyway.
My calculator didn't work that time. We'll leave that one behind. I'll come back to that one some other time. All right, so what happened? It's time to take the window off of the ark, the roof, the window, and then we're going to see the sending out of the raven, the dove, that it's far enough, and we're going to come out. I'm out of time. Questions? Make sure I got it. Okay. Let's stop there. We'll begin with chapter 8, verse 6 next time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that you do indeed hear our prayers and that you do behave just as you have promised, as not only a loving but also a righteous God. And so keep us in the true faith, that we may not receive what we deserve according to your judgment, but that we might receive by faith the promises that you have given of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.